Let's turn into scriptures to Genesis 20. Genesis 20, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 18. Genesis 20, verses 1 through 18. And God's people, let's begin in verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God, so let's give our attention unto Him. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, 'She is my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother.' In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this." And God said to him in a dream, "Yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore I did not let you touch her. Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours." So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, "What have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done." Then Abimelech said to Abraham, "What did you have in view that you have done this thing?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. But indeed, she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, 'This is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place, wherever we go, say of me, he is my brother.' And Abimelech took sheep, oxen, and male and female servants and gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, 'See, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you.' And to Sarah he said, 'Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody.' Thus she was rebuked. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." Those are God's words. If you remember, a few chapters ago in chapter 13, when Abram and Sarah went to Egypt, it's chapter 12. At the end of chapter 12, Abraham did the same thing as he did here. He lied before Pharaoh, saying she was his sister. He does the same thing here with Abimelech. But despite the failure of Abraham again, not learning his lesson this time, or the former time, God is merciful still because of the covenant promises that He's made to him and to Sarah concerning Isaac's birth, that Abraham would be a father of a multitude of nations. And here we see that threatened by Abimelech taking Sarah to be his wife. We see in verses 11 through 13, Abraham makes excuses for why he did this before Abimelech, which amounts to, if we read it amounts to fear of man. It amounts to fear of his own life. And even though his life was always held in the hand of the Lord, he still feared for his life. And just as with Pharaoh, Abimelech, by God's mercy, not because of Abraham's actions, despite his actions, Abimelech blesses Abraham. God, through Abimelech, blesses Abraham with even more riches and his wife back. And what is Abraham's response? According to God's word to Abimelech, he prayed to the Lord in love to his neighbor, and the Lord healed Abimelech and his family, and they bore children after God had made them barren because of taking in Sarah. And as we think of this ourselves, we need to always keep trusting the Lord. Here is Abraham, he's looking out, he sees Abimelech, he sees this king, and he's fearing for his life because he fears the man instead of fearing the God who made the man. And so we need to keep trusting the Lord even as we go out, even as we just sang, and those who attack us or abuse us, we need to keep our focus on the Lord. Trust in Him that He will preserve us, forsaking all fearing of man and loving our neighbors as He calls us to, even our enemies, as we've learned in Romans 12, even for the sake of the spread of the kingdom and the spread of the gospel in all nations. So let's pray now. Our Father, we're thankful again for Your Word. We're thankful that You clearly speak, that You have raised up prophets and apostles to speak Your Word, but also to write down Your Word, in which we give You praise that we have the Scriptures before us in written form, in Bibles, and how blessed we are compared to the many generations before us who did not have Your Word so prevalently. And so, Father, we ask that You would convict us of our sin, of not using Your Word well. You have given us it in abundance, and yet we're often weaker and lazy concerning it. And the blessing that You've given, we take it for granted very much. And so, Father, we pray that You would grow us. First, forgive us of our sins in this. But, Father, make us, by Your Holy Spirit, by Your grace, enable us to meditate upon Your law day and night. That we grow up in knowledge and understanding and wisdom of how to live this life before You. And, Father, we ask also, as we've considered the wicked in this passage, even in the psalm we sang, in Psalm 44, how we pray for them. We pray for the wicked, our enemies. And if it be Your will, that You would turn them unto Yourself, that You would bless them and heal their bodies, many that we could all consider that we know who are far from You, who've rebelled against You and yet are sick or not doing well today. We pray and ask especially this morning for the mother of Russ's co-worker, that You would be with her. She has this aggressive kind of cancer, and we ask that You would watch over her, but more specifically that in all things, as we think of love towards our neighbor, that You would heal her. But even more so, we pray for her soul, that You would save her from her sins. You would turn her and cause, even through this means, even this being on what people call death's doorstep, Father, that You would cause her to see her need of Jesus Christ, Your Son, and that she would rest upon Him alone for her salvation. We pray this for all of our extended family and loved ones, our children who have gone off, who don't know You, who have rebelled against You, who've never even heard the gospel, or maybe it wasn't proclaimed to them. And yet, Father, we know that they're without excuse. They are witnesses of Your being God in creation. They've suppress the truth and unrighteousness, even though they know the truth. They suppressed it. That you are God. That there is a Creator. And Father, we pray that you would reveal it to them if you have not already, that you, the Creator, have sent your Son. And He lived a perfect life, tempted in every way we are, and yet without sin. And then, not deserving death, and yet dying for your people, there on the cursed tree at Calvary. And we think, even this evening, as we'll read a little bit about of His sufferings, His being flogged or scourged, the whips ripping His flesh, and His blood being poured out, and there then hanging on the cross, after His garments were divided, and they mocked Him. And Father, we confess of all of that and more we deserve for our sins. And yet, thankfully, there at the cross also, you poured out your full, unmitigated wrath upon Him to be the perfect sacrifice and atoning sacrifice for your children. And in this we give you praise. We ask that you would help us by your Spirit and by your grace to equip us and grow us in being living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you, acceptable in your sight only through Christ your Son. We pray also for those of our congregation who are not feeling well. We pray especially for Mark and Julie and Phil, who've not been able to be with us for a time. You'd heal their bodies. Pray with Dina and Jeannie and the many people who have allergies. We pray and ask for your healing hand upon Luke and Melissa and their children as they've come, but they've had colds. And ask that you would heal their bodies, that it would have nothing to do with the virus at all. You would protect the rest of the Nichols family in which they're staying with, and grant them good health. Father, we're thankful. Often in this time of year, we begin to realize that we take for granted our good health. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us every day to know that your mercies are new every morning, that you uphold us and keep us. And even if our bodies struggle and suffer under pain for the rest of our lives, we know. We know that you'll raise up our bodies and give us new glorified bodies in the end. And so we look forward to that day even now. We are thankful. As we've considered the civil magistrate many weeks, Father, we are thankful and much that they do. And we're thankful that we're able to meet today. And thankful that we don't have to fear man. We come before your throne. We do pray for the magistrate, the government, that in our authorities, the election that's coming up, and the probable riots that might come. You know, of course we don't, but it seems probable there'll be lots of riots no matter who is elected. And Father, we pray that you would bring peace to our nation. You'd bring peace to us, that we would not be divided over the issues of this year, but we would trust you in everything. And Father, we ask that you would care for us, that you would love us, you would always have your loving kindness upon us, And where we sin, Father, be long-suffering with us. Be patient with us. And sanctify us in Christ. We pray for the church. We ask for your help. There are many churches who are fleeing from you, who are closing their doors completely. Christians who are not worshiping you, not even trying to, not even wanting to. And so, Father, we ask that you would call them back to yourself if it be your will. We pray that you would uphold us. We are no different except by your Holy Spirit and by your grace than those who have turned from you. We would turn from you if it weren't for your Holy Spirit. So work your Holy Spirit in us and keep us from evil, keep us from idolatry, keep us from sin, keep us from going wayward, keep us on the narrow path that leads to eternal life in Christ your Son. The hard path, the dangerous path, and yet the path that we know that even though we suffer with Christ, we will be glorified together with Him. Father, help us to put off all sin, all those fleshly things, all the worldly grips upon us. Wherever we might still seem to be enslaved to sin and to the devil, Father, break those chains. And we ask that you would, by your Spirit, put to death those sins. And that we would worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, unto your name, glory in all things. And we ask that you would do all according to your will. We ask that you would receive us, receive our prayers, and answer according to your will. And what a great promise we have is that you will, because we pray for the sake of Christ, for His glory, and we know that He lives to make intercession for us, and all His pleadings before you as He perfects our prayers and perfects our worship today are yes and amen to Him, and therefore to us. And in this we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.